Hello, friends. We're here with the Alabama Liberals inaugural podcast. This is going to be the beginning of a year-long conversation where me and Michael talk about the president's race and who's going to win and all that stuff. It's going to go from right now all the way up until the inauguration, and we're only a few weeks away from Iowa. How's it going, Michael?
It's going great. I'm happy to be here.
That's good. So, I think the big thing, you know, with this year's presidential race is really authenticity. And I think that's what people are kind of going for. I think that's why people are surprised to see Sanders and Trump doing so well. Everything they said about Trump's been wrong. They've been like, oh, he made a stupid joke about Mexicans. He's got to drop out of the race. And then he goes up in the polls. Oh, he said we're going to kick out the Muslims. He's going to have to change, you know, countries. And then he goes up in the polls. Everything he does that seems stupid and seems like counterproductive to a political campaign, it just makes him go up in the polls.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unheard of. There's really no way to describe it. I was one of those people too that was like, there's no way Trump's a serious candidate. He's not going to win. He's eventually going to fade. He's going to get tired of this and quit because that's what he does. He's going to realize he can't make any money off of this and give up.
I think if he did win, he'd quit within a week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
if especially he had to go through what Obama's been through, you know, he would quit within 2 weeks.
And once he realizes what the president's salary is, he's going to fire himself.
Air Force One and be like, this fucking shithole, I'm not going to stay on this plane. Up. I mean, I can't. This is a step down from my private jet.
Exactly.
I think, I just think that, because back 6 months ago when you asked me who was going to win, I said it's got to be Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, or Scott Walker.
Right.
Scott Walker's already dropped out of the race. The first one to drop out.
Exactly.
Jeb Bush is going nowhere. And Rubio, I mean, I still probably think it'll be Rubio, but I mean, there's no, who knows, you know?
Absolutely. I'm trying to think of who it was. I heard a comedian one time talking about ways to pick a presidential candidate or pick the president. And I think it's how it would be better served for the Republicans to pick their candidate. He said something about American Idol. The person who wins American Idol gets drunk and throws a dart at a board and... Like, that's how they choose it. And that's what the Republicans are probably going to end up having to do with their presidential candidate because there's so many of them. I don't know if anyone – I mean, there's 64 of them in 50 states, so anybody that's going to win more than one.
Yeah, because there's so many, I feel like people – Like they've had to just get so desperate by saying the most outrageous things possible, you know.
Absolutely.
Like it's just all about who can say more outrageous things. And I think it's meant people. I mean, there's so many professional charlatans in the race that you have to wonder like who is the most artificial candidate. And I mean, you could easily make a case. I mean, I don't know. Who do you think is the most artificial? Because, I mean, I kind of feel like Ted Cruz would have to take the bait, but you tell me.
I kind of agree with you. I see a lot of them, you know, looking at Carly Fiorina, she's pretty much failure at everything she's ever done, including trying to run for office.
The hilarious thing is, like, Ted Cruz... I mean, he's not from the Southeast, but he's got that Texas accent, you know?
Yeah.
And then Carly Fiorina actually is from Texas, and she's tried so hard to lose it. you can tell, like, when she speaks, she doesn't even – I mean, it sounds like she's like, okay, remember your diction in school? Because when you go back – I mean, the funny thing about the elites, I mean, people say, oh, we don't want somebody with government experience. We don't want somebody elite. But Trump, Fiorina, and Ben Carson, they're probably more elite than somebody like Rick Perry or Scott Walker. Or if you look back at Fiorina's background, I mean, she went to like 5 private schools, and she went all over the world. They said she went to like a boarding school in London and Kenya. And I mean, in every way, Trump was born rich and all this stuff. But I mean, at the same time, they people are looking at like the people with government experience that they're the ones who are snobs, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's truly. I mean, it's weird. It's a complete 180 from Mitt Romney 4 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. So I think when you're looking at artificial candidates, I mean, I think she would be up there. I think, you know, obviously Donald Trump. Well, I say obviously, yep. But you can't really read Trump. somebody like Rick Santorum, who he's really getting nowhere. He's running on the same campaign he ran in 2012, and you see where that got him.
First of all, this is going to be like a shit kicker's ball right now because you got Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum in the same. I mean, you got Huckabee and Santorum in the same presidential election, and neither one of them can even make the main debate stage. Huckabee did in the beginning, but now he's fallen off. So, I mean, the social conservatives, they're like, oh, man, who do we pick? I mean, which crazy? Yeah, do we got so many crazies to choose from? It's like Ted Cruz wants to put chains around Planned Parenthood, but we've also got old standbys, Huckabee and Santorum. I mean, it's like the social conservatives, I mean, they're not starving for options, you know?
Exactly. But yeah, along those lines, I think kind of what you said. I think, you know, Ted Cruz, if you want to talk about as far as someone that's he just lacks that authenticity. You know, every time he gets up on the stage to make a speech, you know, he looks like he's about to cry with everything he ever says. So
yeah, I've noticed that. It's like, goddamn, I love America so much. I can't control how much I love America. Like that's he always looks like he's about to give. Like, I think Andy Cohen, he was on Real Time with Bill Maher, and he said, Ted Cruz looks like he came from regional theater. he looks like a local car salesman who's in a play or something. And the motherfucker wears more makeup than Johnny Depp in Dark Shadows. I mean, he's got, like, mascara and everything. I mean, he looks like he's painted up. And this guy's a Cuban-Canadian. Like, his background makes it look
right.
I mean, it's amazing how all that birther shit that they stirred up for Obama, that just went immediately out the window when it was for Ted Cruz, you know? I mean, they were handing Obama about not being born in America for years, and then now that, I mean, like, Ted Cruz is a Cuban-Canadian trying to pass himself off as a Texan, and yet somehow he's in charge of the, he's leading the field right now, I think.
Right. Well, you know, once the new polls come out that showed that he was actually ahead of Donald Trump in Iowa, you know, Donald Trump actually came out and said something about Cruz being born in Canada. Then he said something about challenging it. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see, you know, how that's going to turn out. If Donald Trump is actually going to attack his, you know.
It is kind of like Trump's said everything about every kind of immigrant, and then right beside him, Ted Cruz is like, yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
I hate those.
It's like, wait a minute. Weren't you born in Canada?
He's got that fake, you know, I mean, what's he going to do next? Come to the debate with a 10-gallon hat and, you know, and a Yosemite Sam mustache and like 2 6 guns and be like, I'd shoot him if I could. I can stand him, you know. And they get some, you know, then somebody puts up a picture of his dad and Fidel Castro hugging or something behind him. I mean, it's like, I mean, it's truly incredible that, I mean, Trump, he refused to believe that Obama was an American citizen. He thought he was like some kind of counterfeit Kenyan or something. And then now that, like, I mean, it does make you wonder if Trump, I feel like he will probably say something about Ted Cruz's background because, I mean, he's went after every other immigrant class, and I think, but, I mean, I feel like when you have a real Southern accent, as we do, which is why it's kind of, maybe for people that aren't from Alabama, it might be hard to understand this or whatever, but I think that, can you hear, like, when Ted Cruz is talking or whatever? I mean, especially me, like, I was doing the sound check over and over and over again, trying to get my voice not to be so draggy, and I just had like a retarded snuffleupagus or something. Like, I shook a bunch of cough syrup. But I mean, when you hear like George W. Bush or Ted Cruz or somebody put on the fake Texas accent, can you hear it? Because I mean, to me, he sounds like.
Oh God! Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like they got Russell Crowe to come in and be Foghorn Leghorn or something.
I mean, really, Ted Cruz is just drives me nuts. It takes him 11 minutes to finish a sentence. He draws everything out so much.
Yeah.
You know, the president.
Friend, I'm here.
He
tell you. About America and why she's the best goddamn country in the world. I can't hold back my tears anymore about how much I love America.
No, you're going a little too fast for him. You got to slow it down for the Southerners.
Yeah. I feel like
the president is wanting to bring in illegal immigrants.
You could see an X-ray of the inside of his mind, and he's just. Calculating, he's like, is this slow enough to win over the, like, can I pass myself off as Texan if I talk a little bit slower and a little bit slower?
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, it's pretty calculated, but I also think Chris Christie's very inauthentic. Like, I think he's really inauthentic because people think he's, like, the way he talks to you, he looks like a big fat guy sitting at a bar who's about to be like, yeah, here's what I really think. You know, he looks like some, like, Norm from Cheers type character. He's at the debate, he'll open his mouth and say, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. And then he'll just say, like, Obama's terrible. Or just the same shit that, like, all the, like, he sets you up. Like, he's about to I just in love women's lingerie when nobody's looking. But then he just tells you the same thing the other 18 candidates are saying.
Well, you know, you see some people that think they're funny, but they're really not. Chris Christie is like, somebody that thinks he's a bully, but he's really not. He tries to play that bully card. He almost tries to, like, pull a Donald Trump. But it always comes out like, this guy's just a jerk. What is it?
I mean, how much would you love about a Donald Trump, Chris Christie ticket? Just an all New Jersey, all, like, loud.
Are we talking about a fighting contest? Or
each other. Yeah, it'd be like, I'm sure if Christie's got the NSA list on this, he's like, I prefer hot dogs, thank you. I have some standards, I don't just go pretty. With Christie, though, I mean, didn't he have lap band surgery like 3 years ago? I mean, he had the lap band surgery and he still looks like, I mean, I think it's a truly impressive skill for a guy to have lap band surgery and still be as big as a fucking house, you know? That takes a special kind of effort. I mean, what's he doing? Taking like an intravenous drip of milkshakes? Like he's got like the IV hooked up to him. Is he freebasing donuts like Homer Simpson or something? I mean, I don't know how it's possible to be that big and have half your, what, like the lap band surgery, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's truly... truly one of the seven great mysteries of the world. I mean,
you got a guy running for president, and he's like, I'm so fat, I couldn't stop eating. I would have literally eaten myself to death. I have no self-control. That's why I had to have the lap band surgery. And now, even though I've had the surgery, I'm still probably almost as big as I ever was. Pissy 2016, no self-control.
But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, you're talking about a country in which the Kardashians are probably the most famous family in the country. And three-fourths of the population don't seem to understand what, you know, the Constitution even means. I mean, they don't understand basic science. They don't understand that the world is, you know, the climate is changing more rapidly than before. So, I mean...
That's something else about Christie is, you know, unlike Ted Cruz or somebody like that, he's in a liberal state, you know. New Jersey is a liberal state. And I feel like somebody like that's more dangerous because they're taking a state that's, like, they're leaving the state worse off than where they found it, you know. Right. Like, it's like, I mean, like Ted Cruz, his district was red before he got there, but Chris Christie, he's taking a liberal heavy union state, and he's, like, actively going about, like, cutting pensions and different stuff. And another thing with the honesty of him is he's like, folks, I'm going to be honest with you, but then he won't answer if he believes evolution is real.
Right.
He won't answer questions about climate crisis. Like, anything about science, he just says, like, he's at a Springsteen concert and he's ready to brawl, you know, like he's had like five beers or something. He's like, ah, none of your business. You know, he's like, none of your damn business. And I asked him about evolution. He goes, that's none of your business. And I'm like, what? Because I didn't even, can a presidential candidate even say that about like an issue? Like, I mean, it's like, I just imagine Trump and Hillary. What about Benghazi? None of your damn business. Screw you, you know. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I don't know. It just seems like when it comes to him and science, he's like, that's personal. But folks, let me tell you how it is. I'm going to be honest with you by not answering this question.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess kind of, I'm not trying to play the conservative card, but, you know, since this is a liberal podcast, but, you know, that's kind of how Hillary was when it comes to Keystone. When they asked her about supporting it, she's like, you know, if it's not settled, you know, they kept asking her to take a stand, and she basically said, if it's not settled by the time that I take office, then I'll make a decision on it. So it's like, really? Like, is that really your answer? You're not going to take a stand as a presidential candidate? And so, I mean, you know, she got attacked for it too. And it's like, Christie does the same thing, except on nearly every issue. So,
well, I think if we're talking about like candidates and their authenticity, you know, that's the Republican side. I think the winner of this would have to be Ted Cruz, only because every single thing about him seems fake.
Hey,
you know,
yeah,
he doesn't even. Yeah. I mean, even his taste in music. They asked him. They said, "You used to be a heavy metal fan. Why do you know that country music?" And he goes, "It was after 9/11." I thought, "What the fuck does that even mean?" You know, he's just like, "After 9/11, I couldn't support Rage Against the Machine anymore." And I'm like, "What?" It's like, but he now likes country music, and he never did before.
I listen to country music because I love my country, the United States of America.
It's got country right in the title. What's not to love? I mean, hell, CMT, the Country Music Awards are called the American Music Awards, I think. Country American Music Awards or something. So and then, you know, he went to Harvard, but he announced his candidacy at Liberty. I mean, because it's like now people ask him, tell us about your days at Harvard. Harvard, I never went there. I went to Arizona Tech.
How dare you think I'm an elitist?
Haven of, Harvard, I think you made Sodom and Gomorrah friends. I went to the Westboro Baptist Church College. So I think he wins in that regard, and that everything about him is fake. I think Christie is runner-up just because he seems like he's. I mean, he really comes across like a guy who's gonna say the truth, and then never does. He always punts on it. And then, if we go to the Democratic side and we look at them. I mean, you're right. There's kind of some issues with Hillary. I mean, I like Hillary, and I'm definitely going to, I mean, we'll get further along why I'm going to vote for her over Bernie Sanders. We'll talk about that in the next podcast or something. But, I mean, she's definitely got my vote. But, I mean, you know, like when she's on a show like Late Night with Seth Meyers and he asks her a spontaneous question, you can almost see the terror behind her eyes, you know.
Right.
Like, I say, so you like blueberry pie? And she's almost like, oh shit, I didn't poll for this. I didn't find out America likes cherry pie or blueberry better. I can't believe all that's at home, you know. She doesn't really say, and I understand why that is. I mean, I think her lack of authenticity is kind of justified because they scrutinize her so closely, you know.
Absolutely.
Yes, Republicans, they said, do you think, like, I mean, if they ask her, they go, do you think Hillary's the Antichrist? Probably. It sounds plausible. I mean, she's a murderer. I've heard people say she's a murderer. Her and Bill have covered up race. They've killed somebody. Yeah. You know, I mean, they make the Clintons sound like Francis Underwood from House of Cards.
They really do. Absolutely. Like, and I think that's why I really think somebody watches that show and they're like, oh, this is how Bill and Hillary are. That we can't have them.
Well, I agree. Watch House of Cards. You know, the British original version, which is also on Netflix, is very different than like the American version. So in the British original version, I mean, if you look at that actor and you see his inflections, he's a lot more like Jack Frost or Ebenezer Scrooge or something. But when they moved it to America, I don't think it's a coincidence. And his wife in the British version, she's not even a part of the schemes, really. Like, she kind of knows her husband's evil, but she's not as much of a willing participant. And when they moved it to the American version and they had his wife be a big part of things, and they give Kevin Spacey a pretty obvious Bill Clinton type accent. I mean, I don't know. You know, you kind of have to wonder, like, what was the,
By the way, for you listeners that haven't watched House of Cards, it's a great show that's on Netflix. You should check it out. Netflix, yeah. We will proudly, you know, allow you to sponsor us if you would like to.
Yeah, anybody. I mean, hell, we'll take CB Radio if they want to say they want to give us a little bit of money. So we'll take
absolutely.
But speaking of CB Radio, I think that's where the next Democratic debate is going to be hosted at. You know, they've had the Republican debates on every other network, and the Democratic debates, it's like, it's 8 o'clock on a Saturday. We're going to let Rachel Maddow ask him some shit about sandwiches or something. The Democratic debates feel like such a... The first one felt real when there was like six of them and then half of them quit immediately. Like Lincoln Chafee and Jim Webb, they're just like, we quit. You know, we know.
Yeah.
It's like, you wonder if they quit the second they set that on that stage. And then they were like, nobody's clapping for us. We should go home, you know? And expected Chafee to quit mid-debate, like during the first commercial break. He just comes back and his podium's gone, or some guy with the broom and sweeps him off the stage or something, you know?
Or it's like like somebody's dressed up in a Lincoln Chafee mask, like, spilling in for him because he's walked off.
Yeah, you've got Wolf Blitzer. Lincoln, you're still here? I didn't know. I don't know why you're still doing this. But, I mean, Anderson Cooper, he hosted the first debate, and what if Lincoln Chafee goes, I haven't got a question. He goes, who are you? I don't know.
What's your name again?
Lincoln Chafee, are you one of the sponsors? Are you trying to sell us to Lincoln, and you just happen to be up on stage? But with the Democrats, though, I mean, their debates feel a lot less. There is kind of a who gives a shit vibe, you know? I mean, like the next debate, I could see them playing, like, party games. Like, they have charades and maybe do Twister or something. Artie Sanders, how good are you at Pictionary, you know? And they just have them play games or whatever. They kind of have that feeling of, like, Hillary's got it in the bag. And if O'Malley or Sanders wanted to trash her, they would be glad to let to hear it. But when they're like, well, we're not going to trash Hillary, it's like, who gives a shit what you have to say then, you know? And then they, like, don't care. But I think if we look at the Democrats and their candidates in terms of authenticity, this is probably why people have kind of gathered around, you know, Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Bernie's he's ruffled. He's got no, you know, like, I mean, he's clearly not scripted because, he's scripted a little bit, but he's clearly not, like, you know, just in terms of packaging, I mean, you know he's the real deal because, I mean, who would choose to look like that, you know?
Exactly. I don't think that a man owns a comb. Every time he walks out on stage or does an interview, you see his six hairs just flying up in the air. He's clearly not scripted. He's a crazy old man that says whatever he wants to, whatever's on his mind, and he hopes he's going to win. He's basically saying, I'm not dead yet, so let's just go for it. I mean, he'll say whatever's on his mind.
You had a great point about O'Malley when you were saying that, you know, like, you were wondering why people weren't around O'Malley more.
Right. Like I was saying, you know, O'Malley is, you know, a young, attractive, like, liberal who, if you look at his policies, like, they line up almost exactly with President Obama's. And it's like, you would think that the Obama base would get behind somebody like Martin O'Malley, but somehow Sanders has started stealing that base. You know, Hillary's already had her base, but it's like the Obama supporters are now going to Bernie Sanders. And it's crazy.
You kind of have to wonder, like, who told Martin O'Malley to run, you know, because like when you see him in interviews, he looks like, I got this, you know, like, I mean, he looks like he does it though, like, stacked against him, you know, he really does. I mean, I think with a lot of candidates who know that they're not going to win, like, especially on the Republican side, you see the desperation a little bit. But with O'Malley, I mean, he seems to have a delusional amount of confidence. You know?
You would think that he was actually up in the polls.
Yeah, like, I mean, they asked him, some newspaper had it was a legitimate newspaper, made fun of him. They go, here's the Democratic debate, Sanders and Clinton with an unidentified man. You know, it's like talking about Bart O'Malley, which is kind of like, hey, dummy, drop out of the race, you know. I mean, they're making it clear as day that they don't care about him and don't want him in the race. And then they asked him about it. He goes, ha-ha, I think we've all got a good sense of humor. And he just kind of played it off. Like, I think I'm just a couple of states away from winning this whole damn thing. You know, like, he really looks
exactly.
like got it the back.
Well,
and he does it. Oh, it's over.
Right. Well, that's why I saw an interview with him on, I want to say it was Wolf Blitzer was interviewing one time. And Wolf was like, you know, you're currently polling at like 2%, you know, no presidential candidate has ever won being this low, this late. And he's like, we're right where we need to be. We're right where we want to be.
Yeah,
I mean, really good ground game. And it's like, he doesn't.
There seems to be, like, right before the end of the year, there seemed to be like a wave of self-awareness that hit the Republican side, because Graham, Pataki, and Bobby Jindal, they all dropped out like within a couple of weeks of each other, you know. And you kind of got to wonder, like, if that same wave of self-awareness, it hit the Democrats right after the first debate. Chafee and Webb, they dropped out. That Lawrence Lessing, who wasn't even at the debate, the first one, he dropped out a couple of weeks after that. But with the Republicans, I mean, they, like, I mean, you know, they still got like 10 people, even though I was only a couple of weeks away. And I feel like Pataki and Lindsey Graham and Bobby Jindal, it was way overdue. But I mean, it makes you wonder what was in the air around Christmas time. Like it makes you think like their family was like, Lindsey, will you come home?
Yeah.
Lindsey,
yeah.
Quit dicking around. just like, Lindsey, come home. Seriously. Like, this has gone on too long, you know. Like, and Bobby Jindal, he is, you know, I know they just had an election, but I mean, he was governor of Louisiana for like the last six months that he was campaigning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the state was probably like, God damn it, the state's on fire. He's like, that's great. I'm pulling a 0.5% now. Well, I got to stick with this thing. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Louisiana's not a state that you can really let govern itself, obviously. So, you know, even though.
You'll have the.
Even though they'd be better without it. I don't know.
Yeah. You'd have the duck commanders in charge up there. The duck dynasty guys.
Pretty sure you'd get that anyway, because they have that Louisiana congressman that brought them to the State of the Union and everything. And the guys, too, whenever they talk, like, they're not the kind of people that you think, I really want to know what he's got to say about politics. Like, I want to know what that guy thinks about the deficit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you saw that guy outside of Kmart, you'd think, oh, shit, he's going to ask me for 50 cents, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
For a dollar. And then the dynasty guys, like, they go to the State of the Union, and then it's like, let's see what he's got to say about the Fed, the Federal Reserve. I think it gives abortions to women, and they force them to have abortions. Now, that's an interesting point, Bill. Well, I want to hear more about this, you know.
Yeah.
So I think as you mentioned the Kardashians a minute ago, the Kardashians are terrible, but at least the left wing doesn't. Well, I guess they're kind of doing that with Bruce Jenner now. Sorry, Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn.
I'm so sorry. Caitlyn. Please don't kill me. But, I mean, they're kind of doing that with Caitlyn Jenner now, but before, the left wing never been like, I wonder what Courtney thinks about women's rights, you know? They never really thought that they were intellectual leaders, but I guess the dynasty would be the conservative Kardashians, and people really seem to turn to them for, like, political thought on the right wing side.
Well, of course, because, you know, that's where the conservative base is. It's in that same mindset, so...
Well, it's also, speaking of artificiality and inauthenticity, people will think we skipped to this, but this we didn't. Like, this perfectly lines up with that, because when you go back and you look at old pictures of the Duck Dynasty guys, they were wearing, like, polo shirts and shit. Like, they had clean-shaven faces, polo shirts, khaki pants. This whole thing is a character. The whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
it really is.
I mean, they used to do blackface, and now I feel like this is whiteface. This is redneck face, you know. This is what would be called like red face, like redneck face, where you have somebody in Duck Dynasty is like, I mean, 5 years ago, the guys were like fucking investment bankers or something. They're like, oh, yeah, hope we can squeeze in a round of golf at the country club. And then now it's like, ah, here's what I think about them old city folk, you know. And they're talking about who they used to be 5 years ago.
Yeah, but again, I mean, again, that kind of goes back to where the conservative base is now. Because, I mean, we were literally just talking about Ted Cruz being the same way. You know, trying to hide his sort of liberal elitist college and, you know, younger days, and trying to put on this Texas accent and trying to sound more, however you want to say it. But, you know.
Yeah, and just, I think, I mean, we totally glossed over Mike Huckabee, and this is a guy, I kind of feel like we shouldn't waste a lot of time talking about Mike Huckabee, because after Iowa, he'll probably drop out, you know? I mean, it's like...
Can you really gloss over somebody that's polling at like 1%? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like him and Santorum, it's going to be interesting to see if they both just commit a suicide pact. Like, if they just get together and be like, yeah, I was the hot shit in 2008. I know I was in 2012. And then they just, like, jump off a cliff together. But, I mean, they're both still in the race. And they're the last people still on that lower debate stage. Because, as we said, Graham, Pataki, and Jindal all quit. So, I mean, who's in the second tier debate stage? Santorum talking to himself? He's got like a mirror. No, you shouldn't have an abortion. I know. I got you right where I want you, Santorum. You bastard, Rick. You know, I mean, it's like nobody else is on that lower debate stage. When they have, there's going to be another debate Thursday, and there's going to be another one a few days before Iowa, and it makes you wonder, like, are they even going to bother with the second debate stage? Like, I mean, really? And if they do, is it going to be kind of like, Rick, I mean, really? What the fuck are you doing here? You know, it's
exactly.
Like, they,
like it's the first question. Like, okay, why are you still here? Well, that's all the time for tonight.
They just put his debate during a commercial break for like the main debate or something. Like a 30-second debate. He goes, and then he goes, well, that's a great question. I'm here to sell myself to the American people, and they just have closing time playing like blast on the speakers behind him or something, like closing time as loud as it can go.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, with Santorum, though, like, you gotta, like, with him and Huckabee, I mean, like I was going to say with Huckabee, this is a guy who's not really lived in Arkansas in a while. Like, he's had that Fox News show, which I know films in New York, and so he's been kind of a New Yorker for the last decade, but now that he's got to go back and try to win the shoe kicker vote, he gained 50 pounds, he lost all that weight, and then he's gained it all back. He wrote a book called God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy, you know? And I don't even think that book is for, like, people from the South, you know, because I think they would look at that and be like, really, pander much, you know, like, could you pander anymore? I think that's really more like solely for Iowa, you know, and I think that that's, I mean, like, when he writes a book called God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy, number one, I think it's to give people in New York and L.A. like a nightmare. Like, they go to bed thinking about that book, and they go, oh, God, they're all like that. The whole middle America, they're all talking about, they're all like Huckabee. But I don't even think people really from the South, I think even they look at that and think, really? This is what you think? this is what you get out of this. And so I think if we talk about artificiality, you kind of got to talk about Huckabee, a guy who, he lost his Southern Baptist bona fides 10 years ago, and now he's, like, desperate to get them back any way he can, you know?
Right. And it's so weird to look at where they're going. I mean, like you said, it's kind of split right now between the Canadian Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, who I just don't understand. It's like he said, like, they said something about his tax plan, and he said, well, 10% was good enough for God, so it's good enough for America, and it's like, boom, all the Christians? Oh, he said God.
Yeah, let me translate that. Let me translate that. That's translated, I don't understand tax law. And I don't want to bother to learn. I don't want to bother to learn about tax law.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bother to learn about economic, his economic policies are basically just, well, it was good enough for the New Testament, you know. And I mean, he doesn't really, I think instead of like sitting down and really being like, okay, let me Google what a tariff is. His fallback is to just be like, well, you tithe in church, you tithe the government, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think he really follows economics very well, and I don't think he's interested in learning about it either, just from the way he goes off.
No, not at all. I mean, he's the only person that's like, I didn't even want to run. The people wanted me to, so.
I love it. So we'll close out. We'll close out this great first podcast with talking about authenticity. The last debate, they asked the candidates on the Republican side, they said, what's the worst thing about yourself, you know? And I don't know if you saw that, but it was such a great moment of bullshit because all of them, it was just a chance. They asked Ben Carson, they go, what's the worst thing about yourself? He goes, my worst thing is I didn't realize I should be president. These people told me that I should run for president. They asked Rubio, they said, what's your worst thing? My worst thing is that I'm too optimistic about America. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they asked them all, and none of them, I think Trump kind of, he just said that he holds grudges, and he doesn't let stuff go. And that's kind of, I mean, you know, that's kind of an answer, but the rest of them, I think it was just humble brag, you know. I mean, it really felt like, I mean, Marco Rubio, I'm too optimistic about America's future. It's like, really? That's the worst thing about you. Goes,
absolutely.
Jeb Bush, I can't fake anger. It's like, well, you know, you can't fake a fucking pulse either. Come up like a dead man. I mean, it just really came like I just, you know, with that kind of a question, I mean, what do you think each candidate's answer would be if they had the troop serum in their arm, if the CIA torturers got them in Guantanamo Bay, they were being waterboarded, what do you think they would say if they couldn't, like if there's no way they could lie about that same question, what do you think your worst quality is?
Oh, as of what candidates?
Anyone you want to talk about.
Ben Carson's would pretty much just be, through everything, so I really don't know what we're doing.
what if Ben Carson's was, that time I killed 14 hobos that summer, that summer where I went on a killing spree and nobody caught me. Oops, you know.
What?
And then,
whenever I'm doing brain surgery, we'll typically pick my nose and leave a little gift in everyone's brain.
It's like
something outlandish that you would hear. Like
cats that I've drowned in my spare time. You know? I mean, the number of animals I torture at the VA hospital. You know, I think the perfect, like, moment for this 2016 presidential debate, and I heard Jay Leno say this, as he goes, in that last debate, when Ben Carson was bragging about being a failed murderer and Trump called him a liar, you know, it was like, he's like, I killed somebody. No, you didn't, liar. You pussy. You couldn't kill somebody. He's like, I did. I stabbed him. And there's no record of it. You know, I think with Ben Carson, I mean, we'll close it out with, I mean, you know, talking about what each candidate's worst quality is. I mean, they could have had a real moment. Like, Chris Christie should have said food. And let that be it. Drop the mic.
Yeah.
Everybody would have died fucking laughing, you know. I mean, he could have went out there and did a fact that pitch or something, and the whole crowd would have been like, "He's adorable," you know. I mean, it would have been great. But with Ben Carson, I mean, his worst quality is that it's not only that he lies all the fucking time. It's it's how strange his lies are, you know. I mean, we all lie. I mean, you know, like you might meet a girl and be like, "Oh, let me tell you about the NBA team I played for a few years ago." It's been a long time ago. Don't bother Googling it. It's before Google and all that. I mean, we all tell lies, but the shit he lies about is just bizarre, you know? I mean, when you've got like, Ted Cruz pretending to be Texan, I mean, I guess that makes sense because he's a senator from Texas, but when Ben Carson's pretending to be a murderer, he's like, pretends to be a criminal, pretend to be a murderer. He lied about a West Point scholarship offer. It's like, what kind of, what? You know, like, who lied about a school that they didn't go to? Well, they gave me a scholarship, but I went to a better school instead. But I want you to know about the school I turned down. Like, who cares? Yeah.
Well,
I think he's also lying about that woman that he's supposedly married to not being his mom, because they look a lot like. Folks at home, if you get a chance, Google Ben Carson's wife and try not to laugh. I mean, just try not to crack up laughing when you look at their whole pictures and their portraits that they pose for. Right next to the giant sized portrait of Jesus in Ben Carson's house, which honestly, imagine going to eat at Ben Carson's house. You know, like going sitting there eating a TV dinner and then that giant portrait of Jesus is staring at you.
Now, you know, when this podcast gets syndicated, we're going to get, you know, obviously attacked for bringing in a candidate's family.
You're right. And then they haven't done that at all with Obama's family, you know.
Not at all. No.
No, they haven't done that at all. They just called Michelle a shitload of names, you know. And, I actually respected the Democrats for not going after Bush's family, you know, when he was president. They didn't really go after his twin daughters, and there was certainly a lot to go after. I mean, they were basically the Lindsay Lohans of the White House, you know what I mean? But I mean, they didn't go after them. But with Obama's family, like, I mean, with Bush's daughters, they go, what do you think about Jimmy and Jamie's latest, you know, DUI? I don't feel comfortable talking about that. And then with Obama's daughters, what do you think about Malia's carrot habit? She's a whore. We all know it. She's terrible, you know. I mean, they feel very comfortable, like going after his kids in a way that I don't think that they did with Bush, you know.
Yeah, there must be something different about them.
What could it be? These and other mysteries we'll get to the bottom of next time. What's your web address, Michael?
You can find me at blueinalabama.wordpress.com.
Okay, and of course, Alabama Liberal for me. And join us next time. There'll be about, you know, there'll be about a year of these, hopefully. And we look forward to seeing you again.